Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 20. Chapter 20 is called Pure Devotional Service. And today we are reading Text 36. Namaya ekanta bhaktanam. Namaya ekanta bhaktanam. Guna doshodbhava guna. Guna doshodbhava guna. Sadhunam samachittanam. Sadhunam samachittanam. Buddhe param upayusham. Buddhe param upayusham. Namaya ekanta bhaktanam. Guna doshodbhava guna. Sadhunam samachittanam. Buddhe param upayusham. Namaya ekanta bhaktanam. Guna doshodbhava guna. Sadhunam samachittanam. Buddhe param upayusham. Translation. Material piety and sin, which arise from the good and evil of this world, cannot exist within my unalloyed devotees, who, being free from material hankering, maintain steady spiritual consciousness in all circumstances. Indeed, such devotees have achieved me, the Supreme Lord, who am beyond anything that can be conceived by material intelligence. We'll do the word by word translation. Na, not. Mai, in me. Eka anta, unalloyed. Bhaktanam, of the devotees. Guna, recommended as good. Dosha, forbidden as unfavorable. Udbhava, arising from such things. Guna, piety and sin. Sadhunam, of those who are free from material hankering. Samachittanam, who maintain steady spiritual consciousness in all circumstances. Buddhe, that which can be conceived by material intelligence. Param, beyond. Upeyusham, of those who have achieved. We'll read text 37 also, because that ends the chapter. I'll just read the translations. For persons who seriously follow these methods of achieving me, which I have personally taught, attain freedom from illusion, and upon reaching my personal abode, they perfectly understand the absolute truth. Translation to today's verse, purport to today's verse. The words Buddhe Param indicate that the material modes of nature cannot be found within a pure devotee absorbed in the transcendental qualities of the Lord. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly explains that a pure devotee is recognized by complete detachment from personal desire. Therefore, a pure devotee constantly engaged in selfless service to Lord Krishna may not always observe the innumerable details of Vedic rituals and regulations. Such occasional negligence is not to be considered a transgression. Similarly, observance of ordinary material piety does not constitute the ultimate qualification of a soul surrendered to God. Love of Krishna and absolute surrender to the Lord's will raise one immediately to the transcendental platform, where activities performed on the Lord's behalf are absolute, being an expression of God's will. Ordinary materialistic persons sometimes falsely claim this exalted status for their whimsical, immoral activities and cause a great disturbance in society. However, just as an ordinary person should not falsely claim the executive privileges of the personal assistance of a national leader, similarly, an ordinary conditioned soul may not foolishly claim that his immoral, whimsical or speculative activities are sheltered by divine right, being the will of God. One must actually be a pure devotee of the Lord, empowered by the Lord himself and completely surrendered to the will of the Lord, before one may be accepted as transcendental to ordinary piety and sin. There are cases of highly elevated devotees who momentarily fell down from the saintly platform of devotional service. The Lord instructs in Bhagavad Gita 9.13, Api chetsu duracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhur eve nam samantavya samyag vyavasito hisa. A momentary fall down by a sincere devotee of the Lord cannot change the Lord's feelings towards such a person. Even an ordinary father or mother quickly excuses a momentary transgression by their child. Just as children and parents enjoy mutual love, the Lord's surrendered servants enjoy a loving relationship with the Lord. An unpremeditated, accidental fall down is quickly excused by the Lord, and all the members of society must share in the Lord's own feelings, excusing such a sincere devotee. An advanced devotee should not be branded as materialistic or sinful because of accidental fall down. A devotee immediately returns to the platform of saintly service and begs the Lord's forgiveness. However, one who permanently remains in a fallen condition can no longer be accepted as a highly elevated devotee of the Lord. Om Agyanatinirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya We read the translation once again of text 36. Material piety and sin, which arise from the good and evil of this world, cannot exist within my unalloyed devotees, who, being free from material hankering, maintain steady spiritual consciousness in all circumstances. Indeed, such devotees have achieved me, the Supreme Lord, who am beyond anything that can be conceived by material intelligence. So here we are seeing the characteristics of pure unalloyed devotees of the Lord in this verse and in the translation especially. How they are recognized, the pure unalloyed devotees of the Lord, how they are recognized by their detachment from any desires. They are constantly being engaged in the selfless service of the Lord, completely surrendered unto the will of the Lord. And because of all this, all these pure characteristics, they have been empowered by the Lord to carry out the Lord's will. And only such pure devotees who are empowered in this way by the Lord have the right to sometimes transgress the material or the moral codes of material nature, material piety and sin. So before we delve into understanding like which devotees and how they transgress these material piety and sin, we will first talk about how normal people who normally don't surrender to the will of the Lord, and which is so much prevalent in Kali Yuga today nowadays, how they don't want to surrender to the will of the Lord and how they want to always act independently. So in Canto 5, there is the pastime of Maharaj Rahuguna and Jadabharat. And among various instructions that Jadabharat gives to Maharaj Rahuguna, he also instructs him, he gives him in fact graphic description of such people who actually don't want to surrender to the will of the Lord. They live in this material existence, but they want to live at their own will. But it is said that the material existence has been designed by the Lord to frustrate such desires of such conditioned souls who don't want to surrender to the will of the Lord. Therefore, the jiva has been sent here, but the whole material existence, as Krishna claims in Bhagavad Gita, is dukkhalaya mashasvatam. It is a place full of miseries, and even if any relief which is there in the material world is also temporary. In fact, happiness in the material world is described as the gap between two miseries. Always there is misery in the world, but any gap which we get between two miseries is actually happiness in this material world. So the whole idea of Krishna for designing this system of material world is to frustrate such desires of a jiva and to slowly turn him back towards executing Krishna's will and to start giving up his own will. And he wants the jiva to give up this idea that he can falsely act independently of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada says in one of the purports of that chapter, "False attempts to become independent of the laws of nature is called advancement of experimental knowledge." So these are perfectly coined words by Prabhupada. False attempts to become independent of the laws of nature or of the will of the Lord. Like here we read, the characteristic of a pure devotee is that he is always surrendered to the will of the Lord. But a normal conditioned soul who doesn't want to surrender and who wants to become independent of the laws of nature, such a person claims that he has made advancement in this material life. And it describes the nature of a conditioned soul. And we see today, especially the material scientists we see, they are always trying to go against the laws of nature. They are always trying to adjust even the environment or their own domain, which is something else is the nature is providing, but they want to do something else. For example, if it's summer season going on and it's very hot, so what have the material scientists invented? They have invented air conditioners and air coolers. Outside it's very hot, but inside they have created a cool environment. So whether it's in their own house or if they go in a car, they will still have an AC, they will go to office, the whole building will be centrally air conditioned. So this is actually creating an environment which is against the material nature. So these small scientists of this material world, or even ordinary conditioned souls, they are always trying to adjust within the domain they have. Like ordinary conditioned souls are always trying to adjust their family life, trying to act independently or go against the laws of nature and try to adjust things to make them act as per their own will. Even in the Bhagavatam, there is mention of such great materialists who used to do that. And one such great materialist was Hiranyakashipu. If we take the example of Hiranyakashipu, the whole universe was under his control. What to speak of a small domain, like we try to control our family or we try to adjust things within our family life or in our domain or in our offices. But Hiranyakashipu had the whole universe under his control. All the demigods were under his control. So if scientists have to press the button of a remote control to put the AC on, but Hiranyakashipu didn't have to do that. He was so technologically advanced and he was so refined in his technological advancement that he didn't need all this AC or he didn't need remote controls to operate the AC. He just had to move his eyebrows, that too unfavorably. And the demigods were so scared of Hiranyakashipu that they used to adjust the entire atmosphere of the planet. They used to, if Hiranyakashipu wants that there should be nice breeze blowing, immediately Varuna will start nice breeze coming in his way. In the same way, when Hiranyakashipu used to glance at Mother Earth, he used to, one unfavorable glance from Hiranyakashipu, and Mother Earth used to produce whatever Hiranyakashipu needs, even if it was not in season. Unseasonal fruits and vegetables also Hiranyakashipu was able to demand. So we see that he had adjusted the whole atmosphere, he thought he was controlling the whole universe to act according to his own will. And we see like this, everybody in the material world is trying to adjust, is trying to go against nature. The whole system has been designed in this material world, and scientists claim that how you can go against, how you can do as per whatever you want. Don't think that you can be controlled by nature. You can do it. That is the slogan nowadays which scientists try to say. But all these endeavors, even if material conditioned souls keep doing all these endeavors, it is going to lead to frustration. Like Adipurush Prabhu was saying in the Saturday's Bhagavatam class, that sense gratification is going to lead to frustration. Not even a single soul, including Hiranyakashipu, in this material world could enjoy sense gratification perfectly. The only perfect person who can enjoy sense gratification also perfectly is the Lord Himself. It's Krishna. So as it is said in the Ishopanishad, Om Purna Madha Purna Midam Purna Purna Mudachyate Purnasya Purna Mudaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. So it means that Krishna is perfect and complete. Purnam, perfect and complete. And whatever emanations come out of this universe or of this cosmic manifestation are also perfect and complete in themselves. The whole cosmic manifestation is self-sufficient. It doesn't have to depend on something else. Everything Krishna has provided within this material universe. So only Krishna is the perfect person in this material universe. And trying to understand and live with this perfect plan of Krishna is the perfection of a devotee's life. And that will make, give perfection in the devotee's life. Not any other attempt. Surrendering to the perfect will of the Lord and trying to mold one's life such that they are acting in accordance with the will of the Lord is the perfection of a devotee's life. And such devotees are being talked about in this verse. But somehow or the other, we have this deep-rooted mentality. Since millions and millions of lifetimes, we have this mentality of how we can exploit the material nature, of how we can do it independently of the Lord, and how we should not surrender to the will of the Lord. Somehow we have this revolutionary or this revolting mentality which is deep-rooted in our consciousness. But the laws of nature are very stringent. Even if a conditioned soul has this deep-rooted consciousness, the laws of nature, they will always put impediments in the path of the sense gratification of such a conditioned jiva. And they will frustrate the plans, independent plans, of such a materialistic person. And we see even in the life of a great materialist like Hiranyakashipu, he had all the demigods under his control. Everybody used to provide, even Mother Earth, including Mother Earth. Everybody used to provide whatever he needs. But there was one impediment, and that was the greatest impediment in his life. And that was his own son. 5-year-old, very delicate, fragile. He was not even as, materially speaking, he was not even as powerful as the demigods. But that was his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj proved to be a great impediment in Hiranyakashipu's plans. He made all of Hiranyakashipu's plans to act independently of the will of the Lord. Hiranyakashipu was not a devotee who's being mentioned here, who wanted to surrender to the will of the Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj was sent to put all, like we say, no, pani fer diya, put water over all his plans. He made all his plans miserable. So this is the mentality we see in the material world. But people don't realize the futility of all these endeavors of trying to become independent. And the futility of these endeavors has been described very graphically and in so much detail in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam by various personalities and various saintly persons who appear throughout the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. They are time and again trying to prove to us how such endeavors to become independent of the will of the Lord are completely futile. And they are going to lead to frustration. The only thing for a materialist and the whole way the material world has been designed is how to surrender to the will of the Lord and give up your own independent will. But materialists or conditioned souls are always trying to make this world sukhalayam shashvatam. They want this dukhalayam ashashvatam thing to go away. They think it is full of happiness and they think it is going to be always permanent. So before a few chapters, Krishna was explaining to Uddhava that a conditioned soul in this material world, when he was explaining the tenets of Varnashrama Dharma, he was saying that it is the duty of a conditioned soul to gradually detach himself. Like we read in the second line, that a pure devotee is completely detached. He is recognized by his detachment from material desires. So Krishna has said that this Varnashrama system, which has been designed by me, it is to teach a conditioned soul to gradually detach himself from sense enjoyment or gradually detach himself from the idea that he can do it or he can act independently of the will of the Lord and to push him completely to depend on Krishna's mercy. But as long as there are facilities in the material world, and as long as we are comfortable in the material world, we will take shelter of them. It is said, Panchashrodham Vanam Vrajet. So Krishna says, gradually purify your desires. Desires will be there because the nature of the soul is to desire. And since we are in the material world since millions and millions of lifetimes, it is there deep rooted that we want to enjoy. We have so many desires. So by the Varnashrama system, Krishna says that gradually purify your desires and slowly or gradually take shelter of me. But Vanam Vrajet, we see. Vanam Vrajet means not simply, Vanam means forest. So not simply going to the forest for the sake of living in the forest. And we see that monkeys also live in the forest. And they are also very detached, if you see, in material terms, that they are naked. They live under every different tree. Every day they are on a different tree. And what are they surviving on? They are just surviving on fruits and nuts, whatever is available in the forest. So totally dependent on whatever material nature is providing. But as soon as a she-monkey comes, immediately they are agitated. Everything is gone. So we don't want to take shelter of a vanam or a vanam rajet in such a mood, like a monkey, thinking that, you know, I will go to the forest, but the senses are immediately agitated as soon as a sense object comes in front of the senses. So Prahlad Maharaj is explaining to Hiranyakashipu. This Hiranyakashipu used to actually call Prahlad Maharaj as the thorn in his life. But Prahlad Maharaj is explaining to Hiranyakashipu, Sada samud vighna diyan asad grahet. That problem with this material plan for happiness is that there will always be anxiety along with it. And why there will always be anxiety? Because asad grahet, you have taken shelter of something which is temporary. And he is saying that the whole material way, it has been designed that not that it may go wrong, things may go wrong. Things are going to go wrong if you have planning to do things as per your own plan. So please don't hold on to something temporary. That is what Prahlad Maharaj is explaining to Hiranyakashipu. Hoping against hope that it will give you eternal shelter. And that is what Hiranyakashipu was doing. He was hoping against hope that his own strength, his own bodily power, which he had made it so powerful with so many boons of Lord Brahma, is going to give him shelter throughout till the end of his life, or he was thinking he'll never die by anybody. So that is not possible. He tells Hiranyakashipu that, Father, you are in anxiety because you are holding on to temporary things, asat grahet, and you are trying to make it eternal, but it is not possible. Please give up this idea and please give up such endeavors. Yad harim ashraya. Take shelter of the Lord. Become completely dependent on the will of the Lord. And only that will make you completely happy. And it will remove your anxieties from your mind. But Hiranyakashipu was not ready. He was always thinking that Prahlad Maharaj is making me miserable and he's a thorn. And he just wanted to remove that thorn. But on the other hand, if we see, there are in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are also such pure devotees described, as is being described in this verse, who are completely detached, no personal desire, who always want to serve the will of the Lord and who are surrendered to the Lord. And one such example is a pure devotee who was Kunti Maharani. So when Kunti Maharani is praying to Lord Krishna, when Lord Krishna was about to leave for after the war of Mahabharata war was over and Yudhishthir Maharaj had been installed as the emperor of the world, Kunti Maharani is praying, she comes and prays to Krishna, that please don't go, please don't go. These were the prayers of Kunti Maharani. Now Kunti Maharani, we have to understand, is the mother of the whole earth, is the mother, queen mother. She was the mother of the emperor of the whole earth. And the emperor Yudhishthir Maharaj and all the other Pandavas were completely obedient to Kunti Maharani's instructions. Kunti Maharani just had to say something and her will was obediently followed by her sons. Even when Arjuna married Draupadi and he came, he told Kunti Maharani, she was inside, and he told her that, Mother, I've brought a gift for you. And even without seeing, Kunti Maharani said that, share the gift amongst your brothers. And actually they did it. The Pandavas actually did it. Draupadi was then married to all the five Pandavas. She was the wife of all the five Pandavas. They didn't question her, saying that, oh Mother, see what gift I've brought. Now since you've seen, do you want to change your plan? Do you want to give some other instructions? No, the Pandavas were totally surrendered to Kunti Maharani's instructions. So she was such a powerful person. She had so much of command, even over the emperor of the earth. But her prayers are full of humility and her prayers have been glorified in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. She says that everything, whatever was happening till now and now whatever we have achieved is only because of your merciful glance, O Krishna. Kevalyam nama rupabhyam. But now all we have will become completely insignificant. It will perish, Krishna, if you go away. If you leave us and go, this will not have any significance in our life. Like when the soul leaves the body, all the senses of the body become useless. They don't have any use at all. The eyes can't see, the ears can't hear. So similarly, Kunti Maharani is saying that, Krishna, if you go away, then all the material facilities which we have now achieved when Yudhishthir has become the emperor of the earth, that will have no meaning to us. It will all be useless. And therefore, when she has this realization, she says, Vipada Shantu Taha Shaswat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. So she says that instead of giving us these material comforts and going out of our life, you please put us in calamity again and again. Vipadaha. Vipadaha means calamity. So she says that please put us in these calamities again and again. And Kunti Maharani had gone through a lot of calamities in her life. She lost her husband at a very young age. She had to bring up her 5 young sons alone. And that too in the obstacle of her own family member, her own husband's family, immediate family was trying to either kill her children or poison her children. Against all this she brought up her children. And then also when they became big, there were so many impediments, going to the forest, trying to burn their house. So the miseries which Kunti Maharani has faced are really, nobody would be able to face in this material world. But in spite of that, after so many years of miseries, when there is some comfortable position which has come in Kunti Maharani's life, she is saying that, no Krishna, it is all useless if you go away from here. And therefore let the calamities come again and again to our life. At least when the calamities are there, we know that we are dependent on you for the solution of these calamities. So she is saying that now that we are comfortable, she continues her prayers, now that we are comfortable, if you go away, then complacency will seep in our lives and we may tend to forget you. So she is again and again praying to Krishna, don't go, don't go. But while praying, she realizes, because she is a pure devotee, she realizes that what kind of prayers am I doing to Lord Krishna? She immediately says that sever my affection of ties to both the Vrishnis and the Pandavas. And why is she saying that? So Prabhupada explains this in the purport to those prayers. He says that on one hand Kunti Maharani was praying for the protection of the Pandavas, that, O Krishna, please don't go, send us calamities, it's okay, but you stay with us so that you are always with us and we can remember you and we can see you all the time. But now she is saying that sever my affection or sever my ties with the Pandavas as well as the Vrishnis. So Prabhupada says that this is the characteristic of a pure devotee. He never likes to make any prayers in his own self-interest. Like we read, the characteristic of pure devotees over here, they are completely detached. They don't have any self-interest other than the interest of the will of the Lord. So she is saying that cut off for both of them. She doesn't want to be partial in her prayers. Because her paternal side, she's from her paternal side, her relatives are the Vrishnis and her own sons are the Pandavas. So if she prays that, O Krishna, you stay here, that means she is being partial for the Pandavas. And then the Vrishnis will be bereft of Krishna's association. And she feels that, you know, they are also dependent on the Lord. They have also not seen Krishna for a long time. The Vrishnis are also pure devotees of the Lord. So she saw as partiality in her prayers. And she saw that these prayers are in my self-interest. But actually Kunti Maharani's prayers didn't have any self-interest. In fact, Kunti Maharani's prayers have been glorified and have been sung by great Paramahamsas for the last 5,000 years. People have been singing, saying that they are the most humble and they are the purest of prayers, which Kunti Maharani says. But the devotee's heart is like that. So pure in the heart, and therefore even a small speck of dust is there. Like sometimes when we clean, like when we have maha cleanup of the temple also. If everything is spotless and clean, and then there is a small dirt, then it becomes very conspicuous. It's very evident that the small dust is there on the floor. So similarly, a pure devotee's heart is so clean, like Kunti Maharani's heart was so clean, totally selfless. But this small anartha, which she felt was an anartha, in being partial of asking Krishna to stay back for the Pandava's sake, she immediately started repenting. And in her repentance, she started saying that, no, it's better you cut off my ties with both the sides of the family. So this is we see that, you know, Krishna was related to both the sides of the families. And both the families were dependent on Krishna. But Kunti wished that stay for my sons, and then the Vrishnis would be bereft of this association. So therefore she says that cut off my attachment or cut off my ties with both the sides of the family. And Prabhupada explains in that purport to that particular prayer of Kunti Maharani that a devotee may sometimes cut off the ties or cut off the limited ties of affection which he has for his own family, which he or her has for her own family members, in order to widen her field, his or her field of activities, or broaden the field of activities, so that other conditioned souls may be brought into Krishna consciousness. So there is a moral point we see over here, that material piety and sin, which arise from the good and evil of this world, cannot exist within a pure devotee of the Lord, as is the translation of this verse. So cutting off the ties, even in a normal way, if a devotee cuts off the ties with his family members, then according to moral codes, it is seen as wrong, it is seen as sin, that how are you not looking after your family? It is your duty to look after your family. How can you give up all these things? Especially when brahmacharis are planning to adopt the brahmachari ashram. And in India it is so strong, that family ties are so strong. So usually there is pressure from the family members that no, it is the duty of the son to look after the parents. And according to the shastras, it is actually the duty of the son to look after the parents in their old age and to deliver the parents. But because the act of giving up or cutting off the ties to the family is being done for a larger good, or to broaden the field of activities, not being just limited to in affection to the family members, but to actually bring other conditioned souls into the Krishna consciousness movement, then such material piety and sin are not applicable. Because the act has been done as an act of not satisfying one's own will, but surrendering to the will of the Lord. And then such an activity doesn't attract any material piety or any material sin as well. So sometimes we see that the devotees are not strong, but in such prayers, when they pray in any detachment, be it family or be it something which is an anartha in our heart, and we are praying to Krishna that please take this away, please take this anartha away, but we are not very strong in our prayers, or we are not very strong in our determination to get that detached, to get that detachment from that object. So then a devotee can pray to Krishna that I am saying this, Prabhupada is saying in the purport of those verses, that I am saying this, Krishna, but I actually don't mean it. I don't have much desire to give up this anartha, to give up this thing which is there in my heart. But you please do it for me, Krishna. Since I don't have the power or I don't have the strength, you please take care of it, Krishna. And Krishna takes such prayers very seriously. And then he helps such a devotee to become detached. If we see Srila Prabhupada's own example, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had told Srila Prabhupada that you must go to the West and preach. And in his later years, Srila Prabhupada had a dream also, wherein his Guru Maharaj was beckoning him, come, like that, he had that dream. And he also got the message through his god brother, he felt that Guru Maharaj was speaking through his god brother, that you have to give up, you have to broaden your field of activities. But Srila Prabhupada was very humble, and he always kept feeling that I'm so unqualified. So many great sannyasis tried in the past to go to the West and preach. How I will get this success, or how I will be able to do it? So in his humility, he was always feeling unqualified. But because his desire was extremely strong to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, Krishna arranged it for him. Krishna arranged that he becomes detached. He forcefully detached Prabhupada from his family. And we heard in yesterday's lecture also how Prabhupada asked his wife to choose whether it will be tea or me. And then the answer became very evident to Prabhupada, and it became easy for Prabhupada to become detached. So the Lord arranged for this detachment. And then someone may say that, oh, Prabhupada, some children were not even married yet. What about his duties to his family? Don't you think that is moral sin? It was morally his duty to look after his family members. But no, because Prabhupada did it for the will of his Guru Maharaj and for the will of the Lord, there is no material piety or sin which was attached to that activity of Srila Prabhupada. And because Srila Prabhupada did it, he broadened his field of activities, or he broadened his field of affection, cutting off the affection for his own family, but then broadening his field of affection. And because of that act, he could bring so many conditioned souls into the Krishna consciousness movement. He could create a larger family of devotees, and that way he was above this material piety and sin. So Srila Prabhupada, in fact, Shastras also say Srila Prabhupada exemplifies this verse, how he was above the material piety and sin. Because Shastras say that a sannyasi should not cross the seven oceans and go to the other side. Sannyasi should not conduct marriages. But Srila Prabhupada did not seemingly fit into following all these moral or Vedic rituals and regulations. He didn't follow all of them, and he didn't follow all of these laws, these moral laws. Because he was doing it for the pleasure of the Lord and not for his own will. And therefore, he was always above all these things. And if we see, like it is mentioned over here, that a pure devotee in his selfless service to the Lord may not always engage in the innumerable details of Vedic rituals and regulations. So we see in the example of Srila Prabhupada's life, when there was the inauguration of the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. So Krishna, Srila Prabhupada knew that the Yuga Dharma for this age of Kali is Harinam Sankirtan. And he knew that that is the only Dharma which has to be followed, or that is the only Yajna. Sankirtan Yajna is the only Yajna for the age of Kali. So therefore Srila Prabhupada knew that that is the only thing which is required to do for the installation of the deities. But he knew that he has to get acceptance, and when he leaves the planet, his disciples who are running the temple have to get acceptance in Vrindavan. So just to satisfy the caste Goswamis, he arranged for all the Brahmins to come, and he arranged for big yagyas to happen and all those Vedic rituals and regulations to be followed. But as soon as all of that was over and they left, and he had satisfied the caste Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada immediately told his disciples that now let us begin the true Sankirtan Yajna, or the true Yajna for this age. And then he started Harinam Sankirtan, and he said that now this is the true installation of the deities. So we see that Prabhupada didn't follow all the rituals, Vedic rituals and rules and regulations, but he knew what is the will of the Lord, and he knew what will give pleasure to the Lord, and therefore he was not bound by all these things. But ordinary persons who are not pure devotees of the Lord should not imitate such pastimes of pure devotees of the Lord, wherein they pray that I want to cut off my affection, but they are not pure devotees yet. So sometimes it's just escapism. They are just trying to escape their responsibilities, and they feel that, oh no, I'm protected by the will of the Lord. So I'm above all these material piety and sin. It's okay, somebody will look after my family. No, that way they are creating a burden on the society. Like we see in the Western world, that usually there is marriage, or sometimes there is no marriage also, and the partners live together, they have a child, and then the man sometimes runs away, and then the woman is left alone to look after the child. So that is not something which is, you know, kind of the will of the Lord. It is actually the duty of the man to look after the woman and to look after the child and raise the child properly. But by doing so, they are just creating a burden on the society, and then the government has to look after all these people, and the taxes on, you know, normal citizens goes up. So we see that, you know, where pure devotees like this, they are totally detached, they are totally surrendered to the will of the Lord. And then the Lord empowers such devotees. Krishna is saying here that they are empowered by me, and because they are empowered by me, they achieve me and they come to me. So they are empowered, and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives the example of Rupa Goswami. He says that how Rupa Goswami was totally empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even the Goswami's lives, if we see, they exemplify such verses. The Goswamis, so many of the Goswamis had left their families, or they had left their duties towards the king, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were engaged in the duty of the king. But they just left all that. In fact, they lied and they did so many things to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But because they were doing it for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were not falling within that ordinary or material piety and sin or moral codes of material life. So Rupa Goswami was the principal Goswami, and ISKCON, like Prabhupada said, that we are all Rupanugas, we are all following in the path of Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami was empowered by the Lord, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was a soul who was totally surrendered to the will of the Lord. And in case of Rupa Goswami, like once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of separation. He was in front of the deities, Jagannath deities in Jagannath Puri. But he was always in the mood of separation. So he was praying to the Lord in that mood of separation. And understanding that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami composed some very beautiful prayers. And he came and showed them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was shocked. He said, how did Rupa Goswami understand what is there in the deepest recess of my heart? And he was in the assembly of all devotees like Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramanand Rai and all. And he said that how is it that he has understood what was in my heart and what I was praying to Lord Jagannath? This boy, he has totally understood and captured my heart and he has understood my mood. And Swarup Damodar Goswami then tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that yes, it is not surprising that Rupa Goswami could understand your heart. It is because you have empowered him totally. You have totally showered him with your mercy because he is a soul surrendered unto you. So similarly, if we see in Srila Prabhupada's life also, Srila Prabhupada wrote the poem. He had written a big poem on one of his Guru Maharaj Vyas Puja. And he had written that absolute is sentient, thou hast crude, impersonal calamity, thou hast removed. And when he sent this poem, and when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur read this poem, he was absolutely thrilled. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that how is it that this boy, this Abhay Charan Arvind, he has understood my heart? Because that was the whole essence of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings. That how he wants to, he was a very, very strong. He was called as a lion. How he always was trying to cut off the Mayavadis. They used to flee in fear of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he said that how Srila Abhay Charan Arvind has understood my mood, that I want to smash all these Mayavadis and I want to prove that absolute is sentient, that absolute has a form. I want to prove the personal form of the Lord. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also was praising Srila Prabhupada. And why Srila Prabhupada could understand this mood? Because he was a pakka follower. He was a very determined follower of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And because of that, he was showered with the mercy of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he was the true Rupanuga. Prabhupada was a true Rupanuga follower. And we are very fortunate to be associated with such a great devotee or such an unalloyed devotee who exemplifies such a verse, who was following Rupa Goswami, that, and even Kunti Maharani, we see that, give up my affection or give up my ties of affection, sever my ties of affection with my immediate family members, give me detachment so that I can broaden my field of activities. So without consideration of material piety or sin, Prabhupada gave up his family affection, he gave up his family life, he became detached just to spread this Krishna consciousness movement and just to bring the whole world into Krishna consciousness and create facilities so that everybody can surrender to the will of the Lord. And he gave us literatures also by which we can surrender to the will of the Lord and follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada. So it's time up. We'll stop over here. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Shrila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.